Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad to see each of you this morning. We have some that are visiting. We want to welcome you, our guests. We're glad that you're here. Hope that you'll take a moment to get to know us and give us an opportunity to introduce ourselves to you. I'm sure some have done that already and glad for to have you. Glad to have those that are here on a regular basis. And for those that are here on a regular basis, we want to welcome Jake and Catherine Dorn. They have indicated their desire to be a part of the group here as the members here. And as we've talked to them, we're excited to have them and have put their information in the lifeline as well as is on the website as well for the directory for members. Also wanted to mention to you that we're thankful for those all those that came for the men's training class yesterday. So thankful for those who came for that. And if you didn't get a chance to be here, wasn't able to be here, there are booklets that are still printed that are back there on the table in the foyer. If you'd like to have one of those, actually we'd like for you to have one of those, and look through that and see some of the information that's in there, some of the things that we covered, we'd be glad for you to take one of those, encourage you to take one of those this morning. So we're glad for that great opportunity that we had together. We've been looking for the last few weeks in the beginning of the year here for a theme for us to look together and thinking about and talking about a transformed life. And as we've thought about that, as we've noticed that, we've talked about the idea of change. And we've talked about the idea that we all change in one way or another, at some point or another, our lives. And we've also talked about the idea that from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, when Paul talks about to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that there's always areas in our life and all kinds of areas in our life in which we're seeking for those to want us to be conformed. When you go to work and you go to maybe a different job and they say, well, that's not how we do that here, that's not the forms that we use, or that's not how we clock in. Or you go and you, even throughout the holidays, maybe just this past year, maybe your in-laws have said, well, you know, when you come to the holidays here, we have to do it this way, and we have this kind of meet to eat, and we have these kind of things to do, and this is what we do together. And you come along to just different areas of your life, and you realize that there's always this pressure in some way or another for us to be pushed into a certain area or mold of some form. And if we're not careful, we kind of think that, well, we just got to be conformed to everything. And what you end up when you try to conform to everything is, well, you end up with nothing, isn't it? You kind of end up with just a jello life, if you will. And we almost sense the idea that we need to be like that. And I'm afraid that's the idea that some get, even when it comes to spiritual matters. But Paul says to not be conformed to this world, not to be the way the world thinks. You're going to have to change your mind and change the way you think. And in order to do that, he talks about that idea, and we've talked about the idea, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by changing the way we think. And we've looked at several passages. One of those we looked at from our reading this morning, again, just to reiterate about Apollos. Because we said we were going to use Apollos and the things that we see there in Acts chapter 18. Because really, if we were to talk about this subject and we were to talk about all these lessons and say, well, just be transformed each time. We start that way and we end that way. You kind of walk away saying, isn't that the same thing we said last time? But if we were to take it and to realize that we need to kind of process through those things and to step through those things, as we're used to that in our lives, we're used to a series of steps, we're used to a process in our lives, then we were going to do that very thing. And so we've talked about that we need to learn to love God. And as we love God more, that we'll seek to love God and to love our fellow man as well. And as a result of that, certainly that will have an aspect to our life, to every aspect of our life, will influence that. That we'll grow, and that we will, as a result of growing, it will cause us to do certain things. It will cause our life to be in certain ways. And so we summarize that in the process of loving, growing, sharing, and serving. And we've been stepping through those steps in each of our lessons as we've gone along after our introduction. And we talked about the idea of loving God and loving people, of loving the truth and loving good things that we need to be doing. And we talked about last time about teaching and about the idea of practical teaching and the relationships that we have and about growing through big faith that God loves. And we need to be transformed. And so love changes everything. We talked about those different aspects, and we talked about the growth that we need to have as Christians, that we need to be growing, that we need to be more influenced by the Word of God, and the Word of God needs to be showing us how that we need to grow, how that we need to be reformed or changed in our transformed in our minds and changing the way that we think. This morning, I'd like for us to go on and to talk about the idea that step three, really, if you will, is about sharing. About sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about Jesus himself, and the good news about those things. And maybe just as we start, we might ask the question, well, why share the gospel? I think a lot of times maybe what we really ask oftentimes to ourselves is, well, why don't I share the gospel? Well, I don't share the gospel maybe because I'm afraid or maybe just because it doesn't seem like the right thing to do at the right time. You know, when you meet people or when you're out in public, you know, or you're talking to people that you don't know or you don't know them very well, well, the things you're not supposed to talk about, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, right? Those are things you don't talk about. Or maybe I just feel like I don't know enough in order to be able to do that. I don't know enough about the Scriptures in order to do that. And I don't talk about those particular things. Why share the gospel? I think it's important for us to share the gospel because we recognize that it pleases God when His people tell His story. We might come along, we might say, well, you know, I believe that we share the gospel so that others can come to know about Jesus Christ and come to know about what salvation is in Christ. Because, you know, you might have just seen someone, you might have met someone, or you know someone now that they love people, and they have maybe some particular people that they love so much, and they're so concerned about that they want to make sure that they tell them about Jesus. They want to make sure that they know about Jesus in order to hear the truth, in order to hear the good news about Jesus. And I believe that's right and good for us to do. I also believe a lot of times we don't share the gospel because, well, we just simply feel like that, well, we're going to come, or we do share the gospel because we are going to stand in judgment one day. One day God's going to say, well, did you love me? Okay, well, it seemed like you want to put a check there. You say, well, did you love your neighbor? Okay, did you share the good news with him? And you say, well, I don't know about that. One of these days, God's going to ask some questions. He's going to ask to judge us in the way that we lived our life. And yet, I think there's a third reason for us to do that, and that's in this. And that is that God is pleased when we do those things that are right. We see passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Aren't you well pleased when good things are told about you? Aren't you well pleased with that? You know, you come along and you get, and your husband or your wife or maybe that special person in your life, you know, they come along and you got that story that back in your, and one of the, and some subject comes up and they speak up and they tell something about you and they tell something and you just get that, kind of that feeling. You just, boy, that makes you feel good when they tell that. That I just enjoy when they tell that because it, well, one, it may just put us in a good light for one thing, but don't you think God is pleased when we hear about Jesus, when we tell people about Jesus? You see, even the pleasure of God when Jesus comes and he is baptized by John there at the river, and we see that the voice speaks from heaven, of God speaking from heaven, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him or listen to him. Doesn't God still want that? Isn't he well pleased still when he wants people to hear about Jesus? And I really think that should be a good motivation for us, and even the best motivation for us to come along and to share the gospel, to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. May I share with you just a concern that I have? And that is that we not come along and talk about even the things that we're talking about currently in our Bible classes, and convince ourselves in some way or another that if you come along, you hear or ding dong at the doorbell, those are people you never want to talk to because they're never going to listen. And you never want to talk to them if you see them have a special tag on or a special sticker on because those are people that are, they're just, the opportunity is gone. Don't be, close yourself off from those people, please. Don't close yourself off from talking about us, talking about those particular opportunities and maybe what people certainly believe, because I've had the experience of sitting down in Bible studies and having the opportunity to talk to people. And you know what? We're going to talk more about where that's most effective here in just a moment. But when you sit down and you simply, you talk about, well, what does the Word of God say? You sit down and you realize that there's some people that recognize and understand some things, and they'll hear some things maybe about. And they, yes, they're going to have some, maybe some objections and some things, but don't allow those things to close ourselves off from opportunities or even from saying, well, it just doesn't do any good for us to talk to people. Why share the gospel? Share the gospel because it pleases God. Share the gospel because it does please Him for you to tell His story. It's the good news about Jesus. Well, where do we need to do that? May I say to you just the simplest way I can say it, and that is you need to share it. We need to share it here, there, and everywhere. I don't think we can make it any simpler than that, and that's really what the Scriptures tell us. Look at Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8, you see that Jesus, of course, by this time has been crucified. He's been buried, He's arose, and He's ascended back to the Father. Ascending back to the Father very shortly. And he is about to do that, He's sending out the apostles, and He says to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest part of the earth. You've maybe seen a map that's been drawn with a little circle, and maybe it's got Jerusalem right in the middle, and there's a circle with Judea and Samaria around it, and then just the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is telling the apostles, you share the gospel here, right here where we are now. You share it there when it's out and spread out a little bit, and you share it everywhere. You make sure that good news goes everywhere, and you tell those about the things about Me. Because the fact is, if we've accepted that God is pleased when we tell His story, then we need to tell whoever we can. It ought to be good news for us to tell others about Jesus, and to do that here, right here where we live, and to do it in places like we see. Well, let's just see an example from Scripture in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, and notice that Jesus is calling the disciples. He's calling those that He wants to come along and to follow Him. And He wants them to come along and to share the gospel as well. And we are introduced to Philip. Philip is one that starts to follow Jesus. And so in John chapter 1 and in verse 43, notice what happens. It says, the next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow Me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You notice that there what happened? Just simply the chain of events, the chain of connection there, is Jesus calls Philip. And Philip, he goes to the place where he's familiar with most. He goes to where he's from. He goes right there where he's lived and where he's worked. In fact, he goes to someone that he knows, and he says, we found Jesus, the real Messiah, the real Savior. There were even in Scripture, it tells us there were false Christs, there were false Messiahs. Even the New Testament tells us that. But he says, He's really the one. And what do you do when you come along and you hear and you say, well, okay, I hear we're talking about we need to go and tell people, but what is one of the things we always know is probably going to happen? People are going to have objections. People are going to have questions and say, but what about this? What about that? Well, what about those things? What are we going to do when people ask such difficult questions? Maybe questions like, well, what about all the evil in the world? What are we going to do about all of that? What can we do about all of that? But I want you to notice here what Philip does with Nathanael. When he comes and he tells him this good news, verse 46, what's Nathanael's reaction? It's going to sound familiar to today. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything come out of anything, any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Why, Nazareth is that old stinking place?" And I want you to notice and be impressed with what Philip does not do, first of all. Philip doesn't have a chart in his pocket to pull out and say, "Well, let me show you some good things about Nazareth." He doesn't start into a 10-bullet-point sermon, if you will, about Nazareth. "Well, Nazareth, you know, it's had some downtime, some bad things, and but you know, there's this one fella, and he's done a whole lot of good things, and he's from Nazareth. Or, you know, there's a lot of, they sell a lot of good sheep from Nazareth. They got good sheep from there. Or Nathanael, don't you know that down there on the corner that is that restaurant where that lady cooks the best bread, and that's in Nazareth." He doesn't do that. He just turns to Nathanael after Nathanael has said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" and said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." And I think it's impressive in a certain sense, because it's so simple. Because the fact is, he's not going to be able to answer probably every single objection or question that Nathanael's going to come up with right then and right then, there, and everything that he might say. He just says to him, "Well, come and see. Bring your objection." You know, if we think about some of the things that people might say, and maybe some of the objections they say, we say, "Well, you know, I thought of that about that before. Maybe that's a reasonable thought. Maybe that's a reasonable question, a reasonable objection even that you have. Why don't you bring that objection, come, and let's just sit down with the Word of God and let's see. Come and see who this Jesus is. Come and see who the real Jesus is, according to Scripture. Come and see," he says. We have some cards that are back there on that table back there. They're intended for you to maybe put in your wallet and put in your pocket. I see Brother Bob's. He's going to pull one out here for me. There you go. You need to have one like that. Available. And guess what that card says on the front of it? It says, "Come and see." It says, "Come and see," about what we're about, what we're doing here. Because there's so many groups, there's so many religious groups that are out there, and churches on this corner and that corner. People are wondering, "Well, I don't know what this one's about or what that one's about." Maybe they just need to be invited and encouraged. Come to church with us. Come go to worship with me. Come and see. And you may have objections and you may have questions, but come and understand that you can help those things can be dealt with, and they may have to be dealt with incrementally. They may have to be dealt with one question at a time, but God can deal with those things and questions and problems in our life. Because the fact is, it may be some good thing that has come from Nazareth, a good person, and we need to tell people about him. Come and see who he is. And understand that Philip started right where he was. He started here, if you will. And he started telling Nathanael, and so he needed to come and to see. Start there, if you will. Start outside of your area a little bit, outside of Augusta area. That's where we come along and we see and we realize that places like we look in the Scripture and we notice, well, look just over to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus has started his ministry, and the apostles that he's chosen, the disciples that he's chosen to follow closely with him, they're just not real sure about some of what Jesus is doing. In fact, they're not real sure about Jesus after he's come to this area of Samaria. You see, he's gone out of Jerusalem. He's gone out of away from, he's gone out of Nazareth and out of that area up in Galilee. And he's now in Samaria, and he comes to this area. And you can just see the apostles, they've just got this question. Should he even be talking to that woman? That woman over there by that well? And should, you know, these are Samaritans. Does Jesus not understand what Samaritans are? Why, they're just half-breed Jews, is what the Jews would have said. They're just part Jew and part something else. And why, are we really supposed to be talking to them? Are they really the type of people? Are they the people you want going to church with you? We might say today. But Jesus has been talking to this woman, and he's talked to her about some important things. He's talked to her about some important things and some important changes that she really needs to make in her life. Because there's been some problems with her life in sin and living in sin. And so she, even some things that he's revealed to her that he knows that she doesn't know how in the world he could ever know. And she runs back to town to tell him. And she runs and starts to tell people about who this man is and who could this be. And so in verse 35, you notice this, Jesus, after she's gone back, in verse 34, they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, aren't you hungry? Don't you need something to eat? The apostles do. And Jesus said to them in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Why share the gospel? Because it's his work. Because it's what pleases God. It's what God wants us to do. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields for that they are white for harvest. Well, there's a lot of sowing that's been done in a lot of different places. There's a lot of sowing that's been done. And I would say that, ladies and gentlemen, even with the things that you see on the news, and as negative as they are, as negative as I even feel they are sometimes, don't write off the United States of America and say there are no more people here that want to hear the gospel, period. And just write it off that there's nobody else in Georgia, nobody else over in West Virginia or up in Indiana or over in Tennessee or all the way out in California. There's nobody else that wants to hear the gospel. Because I'll tell you what you find, when you're not just here, but you go out there a little bit, when you spread out a little farther, and maybe you move into another area of the country, what you're going to find? You're going to find some people that are interested in Jesus. You'll find some people that are interested in the gospel, some people that are interested in serving the Lord. And it's important for us to be spreading the gospel, not just here, but there. You know what preachers will find when you go to another area? What I found when you move from one area to another, is you find that what results as a result of what you start to do there is you start to pick some fruit and you start seeing this fruit that's born and fruit that is a result of, and guess what? It's not all a result of what I've done. It's not all a result of all the work that I've done. And the result of the fruit that is there is because there have been other people that have been there that have been teaching the gospel, and it's the result of the fruit of the seed that's been sown previously, the fruit that's born now. Jesus tells his disciples, you need to be my witnesses, not just here, but there and everywhere. You need to go out and you need to look at the fields because they're white in the harvest. You may not be thinking they are, but if you look around with the right eyes, I think we might look around and say, you know, there's some opportunities. There's opportunities for us to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and we need to do it everywhere, in every nation. In Acts chapter 10 and in verse 35, we find there that Peter is here and he has gone out and he's been preaching and he's been telling of those of the good news and about these things that are going on. And as he preaches these things, he talks about that in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Peter had to have some convincing about that in our context, by the way. He needed a little bit of encouragement to understand who these people were and who this Cornelius was and what this all was about and who these people, if they really were people that he needed to go and to tell this gospel about. But he needed that. We need that maybe a little bit to know that in every nation, those who fear God and those who desire to serve him are welcomed by him, and they're incredible opportunities. Look at chapter 13 in Acts there. In Acts chapter 13, you see that there are incredible opportunities. In verse 15, you see it says, and after reading the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. Now, this sounds a little bit strange to us. It really doesn't fit a lot of times with most areas in our culture. We probably would, you know, you don't go into in a kind of a general local area, or you don't go to a particular group that is leading a particular area, and you go and you sit down and they say, you know, if you've got anything to say, any encouragement, even spiritual encouragement, here's the mic. Here, speak it, say it. And I'll tell you, you know what's happening in places like Zimbabwe? There, those who are going to certain areas, there are leaders in certain areas of certain parts of that country, and what they are is they are the leaders of that area, and they have been allowed, if they have something to say it, and they've said it to those, and they've said, okay, that's fine. Go out and tell the other people about this. And as a result, the gospel has been preached. As a result, they've been able to go out and to tell people about Jesus and about those good things that they needed to know. And they've gone out everywhere and doing. They've had some incredible opportunities in order to do that. There's a very simple messages, really, that are in the gospel. The gospel itself is a simple message. even in the things that we are talking about and some of the what are different groups believe and what does this group believe, what's that group believe, you know, when it gets really involved and it gets really intricate, and if it has to be contained in multiple books and it has to be some things you are spiritual enough to contain now and other and later you won't be, and maybe you'll be spiritual enough later and then we'll tell you the rest. We see some of that sometimes, you know, that's just not what you find in the Scriptures. That's not what you find in the New Testament. It's just simply the message about Jesus, about the forgiveness of sins that is available in Him and as a result of the sacrifice that He's made for us. And how that we can avail ourselves of that sacrifice, how we can avail ourselves of that grace of God that's been given through Jesus Christ. And as a result, there are very simple messages. Look at Acts chapter 13 again and drop down to verse 26. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 26, you notice he says here, "Brethren, sons of Abraham's family and those among you who fear God, to us the word of this salvation is sent out. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by commending him. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. And when they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who now are his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee.' And as for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessing of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'Thou wilt not allow thy Holy One to undergo decay.'" And he goes on to talk about, what do we need to just simply tell people about? We need to know about Jesus. We need to know about the life he lived. We need to know about the death he died. And the fact that he was raised from the dead. And where is he now? That he ascended back to the Father and that he has gone back to sit at the right hand of God, to sit on his very throne. And the good news is that as a result of that, forgiveness of sins is possible. As a result of that, his blood has been shed and that forgiveness is possible, and it gives us that simple message to go out and to tell others. If you drop on down in that context of verse 38, he says, "Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." There's the point, there's the good news. "And through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could be freed through the law of Moses." Could not be freed through the law of Moses. It's a very simple message. It's about Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And there are encouraging reports as a result of these things that are said in chapter 14 in Acts there in verse, look at verse 26. In Acts chapter 14 in verse 26. After they've gone out and they've gone out with this message. That's the message they've gone out and telling. It says, "And from there they sailed to Antioch, and from which they had been commended by the grace of God for the work which they had accomplished. And when they arrived and gathered the church together and began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples." You know what they did? Paul and those went out and told the gospel, has preached the gospel, and have had good success as a result of those things, and now come back to tell the good reports of those things. I love for us to have brethren, Brother Dennis comes to us and tells us about the things that have happened as a result of the evangelism that's going on in Brazil. I love when we have reports that come from those that have told about the good things that have gone on in Jamaica and those things. I love to hear those reports because it's about the gospel of Jesus. Not just here, not just there, but it's going everywhere. And it's a wonderful thing. It's that exactly that thing that causes those things to please God. I'd suggest to you that we need to understand that these things need to happen. And I'd suggest that all the things we've looked at in all the cases especially that you'll see primarily in the scriptures is you see face-to-face encounters. We have a website. There's a lot of good stuff on the website. And I try to encourage it and promote it. And I think it's great. And I think it's wonderful. We put the sermons on there. And we put the lifeline on there. And all those types of things. But you know what? I hope the most the website does. The biggest thing that I hope the website does is just encourages some people that are here to come and see. And not only to come and see, but then to get the opportunity to sit down across the table, maybe in the kitchen, and sit down and to talk about the Word of God. That's the best thing to do. You know, the best thing for you to do when you talk to people about the good news of Jesus Christ is just say, well, I know you've got some questions, but let's just sit down. You have some time, let's make this time. How about tomorrow night? We'll come over and I'll come over and we'll sit down across the table and just get our Bibles out and we'll look at it. And we can see what does the Word of God have to say. And see what do those things have to say. Because we need to be sharing the gospel face to face. A vast majority of conversions come from that very thing. There was the Institute of American Church Growth asked 10,000 people, this has been even a little while back, asked the question, what was responsible for your coming to Christ and to this church? I asked a number of different groups about this. Somebody said, well, I had this big event. At this gospel meeting, right? Boy, that's got to be really bring some people in. Well, they said only about not even 1%, but 0.5% came as a result of that. They said, well, I had this special need. I realized that there was this problem in my life, this sin I needed to help deal with, or this challenge, and I really had a need, and or maybe I had some other need, and I thought the church could help me with that in some way or another. 3% said they came as a result of that. Somebody said, well, I like the Bible classes. They had just really good teachers and really good instruction that happened in the Bible classes. It's only about 5%. Well, you know, there's got to be a bigger percent. Got to be because they like the preacher, right? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, only about 6%. Sorry. Don't worry. I wasn't deceived into thinking that was going to be a big number. But what you find is, you find that if a friend or relative invited me, 79% of the people said, that's why I'm here. Yeah. Maybe if we just simply said more often, won't you come to church with me? Won't you come and go worship with me? We're going to have a singing tonight. Won't you come and sing with us? We have some good songs. We're going to sing some good songs together. They say, well, I don't know all the songs. They say, that's okay. You can listen if you don't know the song. You can sing with the ones that you do know. Come along with us. Maybe they're just simply, they say, well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable enough. Say, would you like to just sit down? Can we just sit on across the kitchen table or in the living room and just sit down and talk about what does the Word of God have to say? You say, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I'm comfortable about that. Let me give you some pointers before we close about what that really, if you're going to prepare to share, what that really has to do with. And I hope you want to go and not just tell the gospel here and there, but everywhere. But just think about, first of all, make it more about prayer and less about the pitch. Because I could give you, and I have seen all kinds of different methods to share the gospel. And I've got cards and I've got tracts and I've got this and that and the other and how you're supposed to do it this way and how you're supposed to do it that way. Guess what? One way doesn't work for every single person. I know that, number one. But maybe we ought to make it a little more about praying to God and seeking His assistance in these things and less about the fact of how are we going to do it. Less about how are we going to come around and get these things done. Maybe we need to share the gospel not as having just simply a perfect sales pitch, but about our grand communication skills, but about the fact that we just simply need to tell them about something important. Paul knew even. You remember Paul talking about that he knew that even his communication skills were not the greatest? Can you imagine Paul saying that? I don't know about you, but I always think about Paul. Boy, if there was a great communicator of the gospel, well, what did he do? He wrote those things out. Maybe we could write to someone. We could type to someone. You always reread those emails before you send them? I do. I have to a number of times because I know how many mistakes there's going to be in it. But take the time just simply to think, maybe I need to pray more about this, and I need to pray about the opportunities that I can get rather than just thinking and worrying about the pitch and the sales pitch itself. Maybe it needs to be more about power, God's power, and less about personality. You know Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. So many times we've heard it, and when we talk about preaching and teaching the gospel and sharing the gospel and the importance of those things, and Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." What's that about? It's about the power of the Word of God. It's about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe, just maybe, we need to place a little more of our trust in God's power rather than the fact that I'm going to do such a great job at it. Or maybe in the fact that my personality or friendship is going to be so great. You know, if I would just make a good friend, or if I'd be really good friends with somebody, you know, I could come and you'd call me. And if you have to, you can. I don't want this to discourage you. But if you could call me in the middle of the night, or you can call me and it's raining and whatever outside, and you've got to have a tire change, and I can come and do that for you and just help you in that way, or maybe a whole host of other ways. But you know what? That's really not going to change anything about your spiritual life. That's not going to change anything about things that you need spiritually. Not that I can't help with those things and won't, but the fact is it's not going to change much. And maybe we need to depend more on the power of God and the power of the gospel and say that, well, I'm just not sure I could do it very well. Well, that's all right. Because I'll guarantee you one thing, I haven't done it very well talking to people about it sometimes. Early on especially, and that's not knowing what to say and all the things to say, and what I've done a lot of times and what I will still do. I'll sit down at a study like that, and sometimes I'll say it even as the study begins. I'll say, you know, I know you've got a lot of questions, and I don't promise I've got every single answer you need right now. But if you have a question, you ask a question I don't know, I'll go back and I'll study it, and I'll bring you the scriptures, and we'll study it again together. And we'll study those things, because what's it about? Not just simply about me. It's not simply about what I know. It's about the Word of God. And maybe we need more practice and less putting it off. Maybe we need to be just determined that we're going to go out and to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love and think it's impressive about the fact that Jesus wanted people to follow Him. And if you look at passages like Luke chapter 9, Jesus had told those to come and to follow Me, to come and to follow after Him. And there were those who had this issue and that issue, and they had this to do and that to do. When Jesus comes and says to them, one of them actually comes to Jesus and says, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go." He says, "Don't you know the foxes have holes and the birds of the air nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head?" Another, he says to him, "Follow Me." But he said, "Permit Me first to go and bury My father." And Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead." We can look at that passage and say, boy, Jesus sounds a little bit insensitive. Sounds like He doesn't care. What's Jesus really saying there? He's saying there's going to be a lot of things in this life, a lot of material things, earthly things that are going to get in the way if we allow them to. He says, allow those things to be taken care of some other way. Allow those things to be taken care of as they will. And understand that we need to come and we need to follow Him. I think maybe more of us need to have the attitude of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." You know what I've noticed over the years? I love that song, "Here am I, send me." But you know what? We don't sing that song very often in different churches, different local places. And I wonder why. I wonder if it's not because it's so convicting. "Here am I, send me." Because maybe we'd like to say as we're singing that song, "Oh, here am I, but I, you know, Lord, I've got a lot on my plate. I've got a lot going on. Here am I, send Steve." You know? "Here am I, send somebody else. I've got too much going on. I've got too many things to do. I've got too many other people to talk about other things." You know, we've got people that talk and talk. they've got a bigger talk than I've ever had in my life. They can talk about, they can come along with somebody that they've never met before, and they will talk their leg off. I don't do that. I don't just meet people and just come and talk their leg about the weather and about what's going on, about this and that or the other. But you talk to them about talking about Jesus, and they say, oh, I can't do that. Maybe we need to learn to talk about the miracles. Maybe we need to have the attitude and determination that I'm ready to go here and there and everywhere and share the word, to share the gospel, because they will transform my life. If you're here this morning, you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand that Jesus is the Christ. And you desire to follow after him, we encourage you to make that decision and do that right now. Do that and make that decision and determine to step out and to step forward this morning, repenting of your sins, come and be buried in baptism to wash away those sins. That just simply is what Scripture tells us. That's what Jesus says. And he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned. If you're here this morning, you need to come as a Christian, return to him, to come back, make something right. Maybe you just need us to pray for you, to encourage you in some area of your life and encourage you in some way. Maybe we don't know it, realize it as much as we need to. Maybe we need to know you a little bit better. Maybe we need to get to know your life a little bit better. But if you need us to pray with you and for you, we'd be glad to do that as well. If any way we could serve you and assist you, we'd invite you to come this morning while we stand, while we sing. Thank you.